1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, where the Bible says that David was greatly distressed for the people. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. For the people spoke of stoning him, stoning David. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So David, the man after God's own heart, encouraged himself in the Lord his God. One source notes that David was faced with devastating loss, the loss of Ziklag, and a mutinous army threatening to stone him. David found supernatural resilience rather than yielding to panic or despair in his time of distress, that is. He actively turned his focus away from the overwhelming crisis and strengthened his faith directly in God. What a blessing. Amen. There was a crisis because the Amalekites, the enemies of Israel, Israel meaning the people of God, the Amalekite raiders had burned the city and captured all the women and children, and that included David's own wives. So they were at a breaking point. His loyal men were now grieving and broken, turning their deep anguish into violent anger against David. And so David, in what some people call self-talk, when no one else is around to lift you up, some writer notes, you must learn to speak God's promises to your own heart. David himself, this man after God's own heart, said that my soul followeth hard after thee. And that would include in his times of distress when he sought the Lord. And in this passage, we see that David is encouraging himself in the Lord his God in this time of great distress. And so that's what God's called us to do. We must be encouraged in ourselves. In times of distress, the Bible says that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God, Acts 14:22. There's going to be tribulation in this world. Jesus said that in John chapter 16, that we would suffer tribulation. John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So during seasons of great distress, David, the man after God's own heart, sought the Lord. In fact, you and I have no other joy or encouragement to give to others unless we are personally encouraging ourselves in the Lord. Now, how do we encourage ourselves in the Lord? We get in the Word, we get into God's Word, and we stay into God's Word. Whenever we're feeling distress, why have to call somebody every time? Why not just get in the Word yourself? Why not just open God's Word afresh and pour over His words and let His Word consume your inner man and be the joy and rejoicing of your heart? That's what Jeremiah the prophet said. He said, the word of God was found. In other words, he picked up his Bible. And thy words were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. May every one of us as disciples of Christ today be freshly reminded that nourishing our hearts and minds with the word of God, when we do such, we're fed spiritually and therefore satisfied in the Lord, and His Word becomes the joy and rejoicing of our hearts. That's always the answer, always. And the quicker we train ourselves, we encourage ourselves in the Lord to open God's Word and begin to read it, the faster we're going to see the solution of God in our lives. There's going to be times of stress and strife and anguish in our lives. There's going to be times of testing, especially in these last days, where we see the words of Jesus coming to pass. When he spoke about in Matthew 24, beginning in verse 7, he said, nation, now this is leading up to the end of the chapter where Jesus said that after the tribulation of these days, in verse 29 through 31, he's going to appear. Notice, after the tribulation, not before the tribulation, but after the tribulation. This right here clearly exposes the pre-tribulation rapture as a false doctrine. It's after, not before, after the tribulation of these days. You and I are going to have to walk through these tribulations. and he gave us a taste of them beginning in verse 7. And remember, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for God is with us to strengthen us and to see us through. Amen. Psalm chapter 23. Like David said, these psalms are going to come more and more alive unto the children of God in this last day as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In this time of the beginning of sorrows, I call the listener to remember and to pore over the words of Psalm 23 and also 91, the Psalm of Protection. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23, it's six verses. So Jesus, we could say, gave us some details and definition to the valley of the shadow of death that we now face in this last hour before Christ returns, where we see that it's after the tribulation. That must mean we have to go through the tribulation. It has to mean that. It's only after the tribulation of these days that we now live in that Jesus is going to return, that the Son of Man is coming from heaven, and all the tribes of the earth are going to mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That's Matthew 24, 29 through 31. Now, in verse 7 of Matthew 24, nation, it says, for nation shall rise. First, he says in verse 6 that there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. But this is just after he talked about the first sign of the last days, and that's going to be false prophets. False prophets are those who do not preach the whole counsel of God's word. We know them by the fruit of their doctrine. And that's nearly everyone pretending to be a representative of Christ these days. Most of them are teaching that you don't have to endure to the end, which Jesus says here in this passage we're going to read in verse 13 in Matthew 24. You must endure to the end to be saved into eternal glory. You got to get saved now if you're not, and you got to stay saved. You got to stay in Christ. You got to abide. That means remain and continue in Christ, or you're going to be cut off and cast into the fire. John 15, 1 through 6. So Jesus foretold of this hour. He says, many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. We see that all around us on the international scene. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation. Now, do you know what that means? Nation is the Greek word ethnos, E-T-H-N-O-S, ethnic group. Now, do we see that happening before our very eyes right now, where people from different ethnic groups are rising up against other ethnic groups, namely in America, Asians, Latinos, African Americans, and Caucasians. So this was all foretold, and much of this seems to be orchestrated by evil powers of Satan through wicked men, who most of who we don't even know the names of, but they are the puppet masters, and they profit from chaos, where they claim that they're going to bring order out of chaos. Remember, when they shall say, peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh. So nation is rising against nation. We see that in fulfillment right now. We see it all over Europe. We see it all over the world. We see it in the United States. Nation, ethnic group is going to rise against ethnic group. You know, for years I read that verse, Sister Terry, and I thought, well, that means Russia is going to attack Israel, or America is going to attack China, or vice versa. We have prophecy of that. That's true, too. But right here, nation shall rise against nation, is speaking about ethnic group rising against ethnic group, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be, here's one, I'm Democrat, I'm Republican. We now have Gen Xers, they're called, attacking boomers, or the baby boomer generation, as it's called. There's just no end to the strife in the kingdoms that are in conflict with other kingdoms or segments, groups of other people. And there shall be famines and pestilences. That's continual, right? He didn't say it wasn't going to be manufactured. The Bible says in Revelation 12:12 that Satan has come down with great wrath because he knows that he hath but a short time. And in the verse before that, we read that we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony. Our testimony of the saving grace of God in Jesus Christ. The testimony of salvation that Jesus has saved us, and we love not our lives unto the death. Remember, saints, with an eternal perspective that we get from the Word of God, as soon as you pass from this earth, you're going to be in glory with no more pain ever, no more anything negative, according to Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, where the Bible tells us that God is going to wipe away every tear. Remember this verse, anybody? Revelation 21, verse 4, the scripture says, and God, that is in eternity, when we pass into eternity, God shall wipe away all, not some, but all tears from their eyes. All that pain, all that anguish, all of those things we suffered, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Notice, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And so you have nothing to fear. You need not fear death if you're in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you need to fear death because you're going to the lake of fire. You're going to be cast into hell where all rebels go. Just like jails, we have jails in our community, don't we? Why do we have jails? It's to section and to segment away from everybody else those that do not behave themselves correctly. They do not choose to walk in peace toward their fellow man. So they go to jail, and that's exactly where they belong, right? Well, in eternity, it's going to be this. That's a simple microcosm for eternity. God is going to put all rebels who refuse to obey him by repenting and being saved, that's where it starts, into a place called hell. It's called the domain of the damned by some. It's a place where there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's going to be no rest day or night forever and ever. The smoke of your torment is going to rise up forever into the nostrils of a holy and just God who sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for your sins, to be buried and raised again from the dead, and you rejected him in your one life on this earth. And when you drew your last breath, you busted hell wide open because you refused the only solution to your sin, and that was Christ's salvation. And so we have to endure to the end, as the text says here in Matthew 24. We have to endure to the end in faith, worshiping God. Christ gave us the salvation that we have, and it's based on his perfect sacrifice on Calvary when he said, it is finished, or paid in full. But that's not all the Bible says. Jesus said that once you're in him, you've got to abide in him. You've got to continue in him. Why wouldn't you want to? But that's going to be your choice, not mine. And you have to daily encourage yourself in the Lord, as we see in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. When David was going through great tribulation from every angle, everything around him, the walls were closing in. And that's how we're going to feel. And some of you are already feeling that. We've got to encourage ourselves in the Lord. You got to get in the Word, and you got to stay in the Word. You show me a man that's not in the Word every day, and he claims to be a Christian, I will show you a counterfeit who is full of the love of self. He has the wherewithal to pamper self to the nth degree, to get up and do everything in the morning but seek God. Why? Because he's full of the love of self. And he's going to bust hell wide open. Then I'm talking about people that were saved in the past. But Jesus said there would be those who get saved and then they fall away because they do not continue with the Lord. They do not encourage themselves in the Lord. They do not nourish their heart daily with the Word of God because they're too busy serving the God of self. If you love God, you seek God, you're in God's Word, you praise God, and you spend quality time in prayer, So as we come in for a landing here, remember, we're seeing all of these things in Matthew 24, which I want you to read, my friend. This is the news before the news. See, God knows everything, past, present, and future. He says in Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, that he declares the end, get it? From the beginning. God has already foretold how this thing's playing out. It's going to play out. We're right in the middle of it. We're in what Jesus says is these days of the beginning of sorrows. It's only getting started right now. And remember, when you see these things come to pass, Jesus said, lift up your head and look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Luke 21:28. So Jesus is coming, and those that are his have nothing but eternal joy to look forward to. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of men the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Anybody that's not in Christ has nothing but anguish and pain and regret and remorse, trapped in a prison called hell that's going to burn them with excruciating pain, and they're going to feel it consciously forever. End of the book of Mark, chapter 9. So Jesus said there's going to be what? Ethnic groups rising against ethnic groups. We see that. Kingdoms against kingdoms. There's no end to the factions and one group fighting against another. And there shall be famines. We see that all over the world. And pestilences and earthquakes. The pestilences, all of these things, you know, the bats that supposedly brought the coronavirus. Now we got other stuff. It's always in the news by design to scare people, so that not only the same demonic entities that are creating these pestilences are telling you to come get our fix, our solution, and people are still dropping dead every day because they staggered the effect of their poisonous vaccine
concoctions
in the scamdemic. There's certain accounts all over social media. One of them's called COVID BC, British Columbia. And there's not a day that goes by that they don't have a list of people that they show their social media post of how, oh, I took the vax. They're so proud of themselves and they're dying at 39, 55, young ages.
They're dropping dead daily
because they took the vax. There you go. They feared man, not God. And the Bible says, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Jeremiah 17:5, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And be not wise in thine own conceit, he says. Proverbs 3:5-7. So there's going to be also earthquakes. We see that all over the world. Philippines. We support a longtime friend of mine, a ministerial pastor named Brother Allen. They just texted me a few days ago asking for prayer because of the great earthquake that happened. I believe it was in his region or near him in the Philippines. We see it all over the world. Notice pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. That would mean various places all over the globe. And what's going on here is that man is in full rebellion. God, who's in control of everything overall, is bringing everything to a close. He's going to take back his earth because he created it. Remember, the earth is the Lord's. It's not man's. Mexico doesn't own the land that I live on. America, the corporation, that's what it is, by the way, doesn't own the land of the borders of America. It's all God's land. He made it all. All things were created by him and for him. Colossians 1:16, Jesus Christ, he made all things. And so he owns it. They don't own it. And he's coming back in great violence. He's going to oust or eject and remove the rebellious from his earth.
Isaiah chapter 13, verse 9, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners out of it. Verse 11, Isaiah 13, he continues, and I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. And you can also refer to reading 2 Peter chapter 3.
Speaking of the word desolate or desolation in this passage in Isaiah 13, check out 2 Peter 3. It seems to speak of the nuclear war that is on the horizon.
He is going to get rid of the squatters, those who pretend that they own the land, that they are in control. They are in utter rebellion, for they don't give glory to the Lord. He's coming back, 2 Thessalonians 1, in flaming fire, taking vengeance. He's coming back to take vengeance. He's coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, those who have rebelled and refuse to repent and receive Christ, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody not obeying the gospel? Are you enacting and executing the Great Commission? If not, you're not obeying the Lord. If you're His, He commanded you to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and that this gospel of the kingdom would be preached in all the world, He's going to say in our passage right here in Matthew 24. And who's preaching the gospel? The remnant. If you're not preaching the gospel, you're not participating in one way or the other in the Great Commission. You're out of the will of God. And Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." James 1:22, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Anybody who claims to be saved isn't obeying the word of God, the Lord, is completely deceived, and they are hellbound.
Notice that
there's two classes of sinners He's coming to judge: those that know not God, and those that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished, 2 Thessalonians 1, with everlasting destruction. You're going to suffer everlastingly in fiery destruction, conscious torment, Mark 9, from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe. Because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So if you don't believe the testimony of the gospel of Christ through the body of Christ and repent and receive Christ, you're going to suffer the vengeance of eternal fire. So Jesus continues in this litany of things, activities, and horrible afflictions that are coming on the people of the world just before He returns. He says, this is the beginning of sorrows. Then He says in verse 9, Matthew 24, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted," that is, the children of God, they're going to be delivered up, "and shall kill you, and then you're going to go straight on into glory and never experience another moment of pain. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended." Why? Because they were not rooted. They had no root in themselves, as the Gospels tell us, Jesus preached. "And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another." Has anybody else noticed all the hatred in the world these days? Amen. And Jesus said, in this world you shall suffer tribulation. Then He says in verse 11, and boy, isn't this prevalent. I won't go deep into it right now because the whole website has so much about false prophets. In fact, we got two or three books on false prophets on safeguardyoursoul.com. One of them's called Deceivers and False Prophets Among Us, and another one's called Predators in Our Pulpits. They are scripture-rich volumes that teach the body of Christ through the Word of God how to discern false prophets, etc. Then He says, many, verse 11, Matthew 24, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." Why are many going to be deceived? Because they're not encouraging themselves in the Lord like David was. In our main verse today, in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, I want you to read that, meditate upon it, and minister it to others. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God while he was going through great trials and tribulation. And he's the man after God's own heart. He is a model of one who knew how to repent when he sinned, Psalm 51, who declared, "My soul followeth hard after thee," who declared, "Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually, 1 Chronicles 16:11, and so many other great quotes from the beloved David. Okay, so Matthew 24:12, all of these false prophets shall arise. And one of the segments or the flavors of false prophets are those declaring that you're once saved, always saved, you're eternally secure. These people are the agents of Satan, who is the author of that doctrine, irrefutably Genesis 2:17 and 3:4. See, and so these people are going to fall away because they don't endure to the end. They're going to fall away because they believe somehow they're automatically going to heaven because in their past they got saved. That is a false doctrine, and it's already damned the souls of millions with millions more to come. You better read the Bible yourself, and you better listen with a pure heart and get rid of all the lies that have been told you. You are not once saved, always saved. You are not getting rescued. You're going through tribulation. You are not eternally secure. You must endure to the end to be saved. Are you going to bust hell wide open? And according to 2 Peter 2, you're going to have a worse experience in hell forever than if you had never known the way of righteousness. You are kidding no one but yourself. Anybody who believes that falsehood is a moral, gutless coward who does not want to deny themselves. They don't want to repent, first of all, truly repent. They don't want to deny themselves, take up the cross daily, and follow Jesus out of an honest and pure heart. Luke 8:15, that's the only people that are going to be in glory with Jesus. Those who out of a good and honest heart endure and persevere to the end on Jesus' stated terms. Not any other. And if you're so busy listening to one of the many false prophets, as he warns about here in verse 11, Matthew 24, that you're not even in the Word yourself and you listen to mere men more than you listen to God by reading His Word, you're going to be one of the ones that are deceived. Many, not a few, but many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many, not a few. And because iniquity shall abound, sin is so rampant, right? Jesus said we live in an adulterous and sinful generation. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, notice the love of many is going to wax cold. That means that it was absolutely hot in the past, but now it's either lukewarm or cold because they didn't continue to nourish their heart with the Word of God. They didn't continue to encourage themselves in the Lord by feeding their spirit and seeking the face of the Lord relentlessly every day. We read in 1 Timothy 4:6, if thou put, he tells Timothy, his understudy, and this is to every one of us, this is an instruction from God, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, that would be the whole of the Word of God, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up. When you get nourished, you get up. It picks you up. Amen. No different spiritually than it is physically. When you're hungry, when you're thirsty, and you begin to drink cold water and feed your body with good nutrients, it lifts you up. It strengthens you. It nourishes you. It nutrifies you. It invigorates you. That's what the Word of God does. Notice, nourished up in the words of faith, that's the written Word of God, and of good doctrine, that's the Word of God, whereunto thou hast attained. Amen. So that's how you prevent your life from becoming waxing cold. You have sin all around you, but Jesus said you got to watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 26:41. Then he says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. You are required by God. Doesn't matter if you like it or not. If you don't like it, it's because you really don't love God. And perhaps you've never truly repented. You've never had a real come to Jesus meeting where you got on your knees and you lifted your hands and hearts, or you bowed down in the shame of your sin and cried out to God in desperation and admitted that you were a filthy sinner worthy of death and hell. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. You've never cried out to God in desperation and received Jesus and asked Him to take over your life completely. That's the problem with most who claim to be saved. They've never truly repented. And Jesus said, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. God said that He commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17:30. And then it says, as we close, and this gospel, Jesus said, of the kingdom, remember the Great Commission? Here he is saying it again. And this gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of your stupid church, but of the kingdom of Christ. And who's the king of the kingdom of Christ? King Jesus. Kingdom. We preach Jesus. Kingdom. Two words put together. D-O-M is dominion or domain. See, the domain of King Jesus is the kingdom of God. Wherever Jesus is honored, wherever he dwells in the person who is humble, who is regenerated, born again, and abiding in Jesus. And what are those people doing? You want to know who's going to heaven? Check this out. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, all peoples, and then shall the end come. See, the remnant of Christ's elect, which is only a residue, a minuscule percentage of those who claim to know Jesus, are preaching the kingdom of God. They are about the Father's business. Luke 2:49, Jesus, when he was on earth, said, I must be about my Father's business. If you're not about the Father's business, it's because you're full of the love of self, you're full of rebellion and darkness, and you're seeking your own thing in this world. God is a hobby. You just want to try to use Jesus to get your own tail out of hell. You don't really love him. You think he doesn't see that? Who are we trying to kid? He sees it. Let me read you this verse out of Luke 19:27. Boy, the book of Luke is so loaded with the harsh, hard sayings of Jesus Christ. It's a good thing to man up and get in it. Okay, Luke 19:27 before we pray. But those mine enemies... Who are Jesus's enemies? Oh, not me. I said a prayer. I go to church every Sunday. Yeah, most of which the people who claim such are going to bust hell wide open. Notice this, because they're following a church, a pastor, a false form of Christianity, not Christ. His stated terms are his word, not the little smidgens your fake pastor is giving you. You better get in the word. Yourself. Study to show yourself approved unto God. You do it. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Luke 19:27. But those mine enemies. Now, who are his enemies? He's going to tell you right now. But those mine enemies, listen close, which would not that I should reign over them. Hello? Anybody listening? Which would not that I should reign over them. See, anybody that doesn't have Jesus reigning on the throne of their heart is the enemy of God. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Cut them down into hell, is what he's saying. Luke 19:27. I want to encourage you to memorize that verse. And remember, you tie that together with 2 Timothy 3:5. They have a mere form of godliness. They claim to be saved, but they deny the power or the reign and the authority of Christ in their personal life. They refuse to deny themselves, disown themselves, take up their cross and follow Jesus. That means to live a crucified life. After he saves you, he gives you the cross so that you live a crucified life. That's the only way you can stay out of sin. Romans 6 every day. Read Romans 6 every day. Verse 7 tells us what? He that is dead is freed from sin. Only those who are crucified with Christ are going to overcome sin. And you're not going to heaven if you're not overcoming sin in this world. Jesus did not forgive your sins initially to allow you and give you a free pass to go live back in those sins. If you die in sin, hell is where you will end up in irrevocably. Before we pray, let's be reminded of the beloved David. And David had some sinful falls in his life. So if you have, like all of us have, be encouraged in the Lord. That's part of the way you can encourage yourself in the Lord is to go read Psalm 51, David's Psalm of Repentance. He sure did greatly serving God, but he sure sinned strongly in the manner of Bathsheba and her husband, etc. But then he sure knew how to repent. Amen. If that's where you're at, God is calling you to come before him, to return to him like the prodigal son, to realize you're in the sin, the pig slop of sin, and your heart is full of anguish, shame, and guilt. And Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. Take upon you my yoke, for it's easy, and my burden is light. And you will find rest unto your souls. End of Matthew 11. Amen. Does anybody need to return to the Lord today? I can tell you, I've had to return to the Lord many times. Okay, I want you to come on up close, and we're going to pray together. Get out of your chair and come on up.
Okay.
All right. Are you guys ready to pray? I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You're going to pray to God, not to man. You're praying to God with all your heart. Are you ready? Okay, I want you to repeat this after me to the Lord. I want you to tell the Lord, "Dear Heavenly Father," out loud, "I come to you in the name of Jesus, confessing all my sin against you. Lord, I ask you to wash me clean and forgive me in the precious blood of my Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sins. He was then buried and raised again from the dead. Dear Lord Jesus, I love you. From this moment forward, take over my life. I am all yours. And Jesus, I know you're all mine. I love you, Jesus. Now please fill me with the Holy Ghost and make me your witness to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What a blessing.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.